Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Sister Miriam James Heideland. She's been sharing her story with us and really the nature content of the work the Lord has led her into over these last number of years. Very fruitful ministry of preaching and healing. If you don't have a chance to listen to the programs, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to them right there on the computer or download them, put them on whatever device works for you. But welcome back, sister.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
It's so been kind wonderful. Of you to be here with us. You're busy. You're a busy girl. Let's say, you know, one of the things you've mentioned a number of times in the program is the theology of the body.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I love too, and I've never studied it as deeply as you have, mm-hmm. but I have studied it some. And I wonder if we could just break it open for our listeners, mm-hmm. like, what are we talking about and mm-hmm. what's its value really? Mm-hmm. So,
oh, it's wonderful. It is really a catechesis. It was actually written as an original book in Polish by John Paul II back when he was, you know, Archbishop Wojtyła. And so it's called Male and Female, He Created Them, A Theology of the Body. So really what it is, a study of God in our bodies, which even that, just saying that for a lot of us might be like, what? Like a study of God in my body? Like God is revealing something in my body, in and through my body. And we say yes, yes, overwhelmingly yes. And so when he became John Paul II, he took that book, which is, you see the providence of God. That book would have remained, probably translated into English one day, but it would have been written by a you know Polish archbishop and would have remained as such. But God took that beautiful, beautiful work of art and put it on a world stage. And when he became John Paul II, he actually took the book apart and gave it as a Wednesday audience, which it's so rich theologically and philosophically. You think how, I mean, even now it's like it's the original text is really, you have to really sit with it and really ponder it. But he gave it as a catechesis in the Wednesday audience over several years. I believe there are 173, I think, addresses. He took a break when he was actually shot at. It was kind of funny. After he finally came back and resumed his Wednesday audience, he was like, we had a little interruption there. I'm like, dude, you almost died. Like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But it's really this the vision of what it means to be human. So what does it mean to be human, you know, and what does it mean to love, and how will I give the gift of myself in love? So it's divided into three parts of original man, so man in the garden, Adam and Eve in the garden, where they experienced original holiness, original nakedness, original solitude, right, when God was their fulfilling desire. Historical man after the fall, it's the area, the state in which we find ourselves now, a brokenness of lust, but still with the echo of Eden in our hearts. And then eschatological man, which is what Christ reveals to us, man in the future, where he gives extensive discourse on celibacy for the kingdom and marriage. And so it's just a tremendous, just beautiful. I remember when we first were introduced to it, Christopher West, it was a talk, but Christopher West was giving at the time. And I was a novice and we were living in Rome and we had it on a cassette tapes, right? And I'm thinking to myself, why am I having to listen to this? Like, I'm going to be celibate. Like, what is this? Yeah. I mean, clearly it's so ignorant, you know, and I, coupled with my own brokenness, I just laugh at myself now. But I remember listening to it. I remember thinking to myself, that is so beautiful. Like that my body as a woman, this receptivity of how I'm meant to receive of the gift of my heart of a man, how he's meant to initiate the gift, what that reveals about God, the reciprocity of male and female, the gift of their complementarity of body, soul, and mind and heart. It was so beautiful. And I've said the thing that everybody else that I've ever talked to has ever studied TOB has said, I wish I would have known this so much earlier in my life. Mm-hmm. It would have changed the way that I lived because it's so captivatingly beautiful. And so like anything else that's truly beautiful, it requires us to live an excellent life. And so it is challenging. When you see the radical call of love, like when you see how Christ loves, the love of virtue of authentic love, it's beauty and it's glory, but it's also beauty and it's crucifixion. And so for all of us in our life, you know, to love is to give the gift of ourselves. It's the outpouring of ourselves and to receive another, which requires a tremendous amount of vulnerability, of openness, of being willing to call out our sin when we're lustful and selfish and self-centered and allowing God to reorder us. Because all of us are called, no matter what we find ourselves in, you know, and all of us are broken in our masculinity and femininity. Brokenness takes on various forms, but there's nobody who has a corner on brokenness of their masculinity and femininity. Every single human person is called to live excellent love. And that is at times very crucifying, but it is worth it. Mm-hmm. It's worth it. And so I would highly recommend a study. There's so many commentaries now on theology of the body from Dr. Mary Healy, I believe, wrote Man and Woman Are from Eden. Mm-hmm. There's so many wonderful commentaries on it. You can take the original text, which is, like I said, quite dense, but you can read it with a commentary and it will come alive for you. And I mean, it's a never-ending study. I'm not done studying it. Yeah. I don't think I ever will be.
Let's drill down a little bit more into the whole idea of the language of the body. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've said a few things that touch on it. Mm-hmm. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, that our bodies speak a language. Like, our bodies reveal the person. Like, you know, because we're a union of soul and matter. So when I, so example, like when we met one another, we shook hands. And I'm meeting you as a person. I'm just meeting your body. So, you know, we talk about heresies in the church where, like, the spirit and matter have been split, right? Where spirit is good, body is bad. It's a Manichaean heresy. As human beings, we're called to be a union of soul and body. So I meet you. I meet you as a person in the union of who you are, as soul and body. So your body speaks a language. It speaks a language of gift. Ultimately, what the body does is it speaks a language that I am a gift to be given, that I'm meant for communion. I'm meant for relationship. Christopher West very famously says, the body doesn't make sense by itself. My body as a woman doesn't make sense by itself. It makes sense in light of an example for a union for a married couple between a man and a woman. But even in the soul, my body, I look at my body and I say, my body is meant to be a gift, a receptive gift, but also a gift to be given away. Especially when you look at a woman's body, the way she's called to nurture a child. Her body is really, it's a place where another, she literally gives herself away so somebody else can grow within her to take root, to be a safe, to be a refuge within her. And so our bodies speak a language. And so especially in the marital act, when a man and a woman, a husband and wife come together, their bodies are speaking a language of I am yours and you are mine forever. Mm-hmm. It's a covenant language. It's an icon of how God loves us, which is why the sacrament of marriage, which is under tremendous attack today, it's under tremendous attack because it speaks such a powerful language of how God loves us. Mm-hmm. That I love you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health. I give all of myself to you. I am yours and you are mine. I hold nothing back. In the garden, Adam and Eve were naked. Their physical nakedness represented their spiritual nakedness. They were completely vulnerable and transparent before one another. And that is the kind of relationship that God is calling you to. But for us, as we know that God's relationship with us is not until death do us part. It is forever and it is for all eternity. And God never breaks his promises. He never breaks his covenant. So yes, our bodies are always speaking a language, and they're called to be the language of self-gift. We're gifts to be given away, right?
Yeah, and there's, as you're talking, you can see the collision that we're currently having with the culture, the church is having with the culture.
Yes.
Because the culture is still, again, the Gnostic heresy keeps reemerging in society, in history, which is what? It's the denial of the body.
Yes.
I am, what I am is in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, I am my feelings, or I'm this and that. I'm not my body. Mm-hmm. And so the language of the body, the theology of the body is, say, you are made in the image and likeness of God, and it's not just your spirit, you're an embodied person.
Yes.
And no one's
ever. An embodied
spirit, I mean. Yes. Yeah. And nobody's ever encountered you apart from your body.
No.
You know what I mean?
Scared of that.
Right, yeah.
That's what Peter Crave says, we're afraid of dead people and ghosts because they're like, something's not right there. Yeah,
yeah right. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. Could you just expand a little bit more on that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's very true. And that's what, you know, and we do that. Society says, I am whoever I want to be, and I'm going to do whatever what I want with my body, and it doesn't make a difference. In other circles, on the other side, you say, well, I'm just spirit, and my body is bad, so I'm going to punish my body, as if, you know, like anything carnal, so to speak, is bad. Or we talk about the flesh being completely and totally fallen, and when St. Paul talks about the flesh, he's not talking about you being a human person. He's talking about our disordered desires, which all of us have.
Right.
But in essence, because Christ takes on a body, it has to be good. He has resurrected everything.
Right.
He's redeemed everything. And you see just even how Jesus manifested himself as a person. Like, he's always touching people and he's getting right into their mess. And he's not afraid. I mean, could you imagine being around somebody like that, who's not afraid of their body, who's not afraid of their masculinity, just like who Christ was, so potent and so virile and so powerful in who he was. There was no split in him. And so that's this whole redemption of the human person. But we often, as we all know, live in these areas of splits where we either, you know, say I'm not this, or we don't like our body, or we don't like our spirit, we don't believe in an afterlife, or just, you know, all the kind of stuff.
You know, one of the core lies today is everybody wants to be happy. We know that. That's not a lie. We're made for that. But we've been convinced, contemporary society's been convinced, that if I'm going to be happy, I have to be free. Okay, I'm okay with that. But freedom means my power to be self-creative. It's fundamentally, everything originates from me.
Mm-hmm.
I name myself, I name my value, I name what's true for me, I name what's good for me, I name whether or not the body has any meaning for me or not. No one can ever tell me that it does. No one can tell me there's an objective language in my body that I'm supposed to be paying attention to or something like that. And so it's part of what's just messing up human sexuality, and human anthropology is kind of getting turned on its head these days, you know, and 150 genders and all the rest. It's just refusing to accept, suppressing the truth about the body and who we are, you know, embodied spirits, and that the body's an integral part of who we are.
Yes.
And it communicates something to us about God, about us, about human relationships. It's really profound. And when we decide, no, I don't want to have to receive something.
Yeah, there you go, right there.
I don't have to receive it and say yes to it and surrender to it and cooperate with God's action.
Yes.
I need to be the origin of it all, not somebody else. Because if someone else is the origin, I'm not free.
Mm-hmm.
It's being imposed on me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I see sort of the deep battle in the culture in many ways. Mm-hmm. And it's a great lie because we're just disintegrating.
So true. Yes.
Instead of being integrated, we're... Yeah. And those are the only two options. We're either going to be integrated or whole, or we're going to deny who we are, and we will just keep breaking down and disintegrating. And as Pope Benedict said, humanity is losing its bearings on reality because of it.
It's so true, you know? Peter. What an excellent, very succinct description, exactly. And this sounds familiar to us because it's the original lie in the garden of I will take the fruit and I will define for myself what is good and evil. Right. Mm-hmm. And God is holding out on you. Right. It's the same. It's the same. It just wears different clothes. It's the same lie, but it's and it's true. We do that to our own detriment because to be a human person, like you said, it's a gift that we've been given.
Yeah.
Like our femininity, our masculinity, our personhood is a gift that's been given to us. And so as I receive it, it means it has a proper order. So there's an excellence to living as a human person.
Yeah.
And the more I live within the boundaries of that excellence, like we, you know, I know Bishop Robert Barron talks about, you know, freedom versus license, where license is, you know, very like, don't tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want. Freedom being able to see what is good and pursue the good. So he talks a lot about the golf swing of like, you know, nobody would ever say to take a golf swing club and swing it however you want. You just, you do you there. They're like, you're an idiot.
Right,
you know, it's only when you adhere to the laws of golf swing that you become more excellent in it and you become more free. That is the exact same thing as living as a human person. The more I understand what it means to be human and what will make me flourish as a human being, okay, and I practice those virtues of receptivity, of surrender, of self-gift, of loving affirmation of the other, of, you know, the pursuit of intellectual knowledge, of, then I become more of an excellent human person. It's a practice. But as you said, if I'm taking that at the core of my being and saying, I'm going to define who I am and what I'm going to do. That's like me picking up a golf club and saying, I'm going to do this however I want to do. And you're like, you're about to make a huge mess out of that.
Yeah.
And we do it out of our own brokenness, don't we?
Right,
yeah. And
right.
A lot of us are just in so much pain that we don't know what else to do. And we think that's the only option. And that is not the only option. The self-definition is not the only option. It's not. That just breaks us.
And then the way the battle comes as well is to say, don't tell me I'm broken.
Yeah.
You know, don't say that there's anything broken in me. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't want anybody to say that to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not ready to say that about me.
I know.
And so I'm going to do everything I can to silence every voice to ever have a right to speak that. And if it means we have to make the laws of the land silence you, so be it. Because I don't want to look that deeply in me. And I have to say, this is me. And don't tell me it's not me or there's some other.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, there we are. I mean, that's kind of the intensity of the battle. And
it's very true.
And the wound of the garden. You know, the deep wound is so profound. Yeah, it just keeps coming back, and there's only one way out. There's only one physician. There's only one healer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been touched by the things you've been saying the last couple of days and how much when we understand our own brokenness and the love of God to bring us healing, how much compassion we can have on everybody's dealing with all this stuff.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we have to agree it and affirm it,
no.
But you move from a kind of angry frustration with you, get your act together, to a deep compassion. I get why you're running. I get why you're covering.
Yeah.
I get it all.
Yeah.
You know, and you're looking for love. You're trying to find it, you know.
Amen.
So anyway, do you think you have one more day in you?
I do.
We can bring you back tomorrow. Okay,
love
great.
To come
friends,
back.
Let's join us again tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.